number 1 and 2 source 3350.
Hi, pilot Jake. Hello, guys.
Oh, David, hi.
Liftoff imminent.
Professor Blasthoff, begin transmission.
Hi, it's Tig Notar.
Of course it evolved that in the end.
Hi, Tig.
Hi, Kyle.
Hey, David.
During the song, Kyle was doing a bit of a dance that got a little dirty. That's all we're going to say.
At the part where it goes, tick 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 at the end, just at the end.
Yeah. And
prior to that, it was very
clean, and Mother would have loved it.
Yeah. Mother would love my dancing. But the end got
dirty, and Mother wouldn't have loved it.
Love.
Stop it. What did I just say? That was all we were going to say.
Clearly, well, we are liars, and welcome to our podcast.
Yeah, and just as a heads up, even though Kyle's dancing and dirty dancing is over, he is doing this podcast topless.
Mm-hmm.
This episode,
We're
trying to get ratings.
So I'm doing the whole podcast topless.
Yeah.
Yes.
And already the numbers are shooting through the roof.
You know, speaking of Mother, I got into a fight with Mother today.
Oh.
It's not a good story, but...
What did you get? Not in person. She's not visiting, right?
Right. I'm going home tomorrow. But Mother and I
are on the
phone.
Oh,
that's cute.
You're going home to Mother.
Yeah. And then she pushes my button sometimes.
What'd she say? What happened?
You know, like, I was raised on guilt. So it's like very little like throws me off.
Can I back it up a second? I wish this had been set up a little bit more late night desk style. Like, you recently talked to your mother. Didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I did, yeah.
Okay.
No, anyway, it's
not. Is that better, David?
Thank you, yeah. Okay. I prefer most interactions to...
Okay. So what happened with Mother?
She'll throw, like, explosive guilt lines and, like, I never got a birthday present. And then we did give her... we all pooled money in to give her a present, and then she returned it and then never went back to get a new... version of the
what
boots
did you
we got.
Get?
We got her UGG boots, like sparkle UGG boots she wanted.
Sparkle UGG boots. Because
yeah.
She's only 30, right?
She's just turned 30, so it's appropriate that my mother...
Didn't you say your mom wears like leopard skin things?
Yeah,
and
leopard
sparkly
pants and sparkle
things.
Jackets.
Mm-hmm. I love
she has
that picture.
A whole gold sparkle purse.
Wasn't it last New Year's Eve where she's in her robe just slumped over asleep?
Well, yeah, I mean, this goes back to the guilt. Like, I spend New Year's...
Every New Year's you spend...
For the past, like, 10 years.
This year, you're not.
This year, I am not.
You're out of there.
Yeah.
You're out there living it
but
up.
The guilt...
Good luck, Mother.
I don't want Mother to be alone for New Year's, so I'd spend it with her, but she'd fall asleep at 8:30, and then it's the most depressing New Year's for me.
She's just slumped over in a row.
Won't you come
while
see me? I'm so lonely.
While you're dancing around the house like a good boy.
And that's what good boys do.
When Mother falls asleep, I continue to tap and jazz all night.
I just snap pictures of her slumped over asleep on the couch.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Do you still
those.
Kiss her at midnight?
Yeah, I do.
Good.
You got all a problem right. with that?
No, it's just cute.
It's adorable. Well, I'm sorry about your fight. So the explosive line was nobody got me a birthday present.
Yeah, and then like by the end of the conversation it became, oh, I just returned it and didn't get any new boots. And I was trying to explain to her that by saying that, you know, for the past 10 minutes, you could have just said, oh, I haven't gotten new boots.
Yeah.
And this would have not been a whole argument.
And what did she say?
Just that I was exhausting or something like that.
You really are. Kyle is exhausting.
Too much of her.
That's how I would describe you to anybody that would listen to me. I'd be like, Kyle is exhausting me today.
Oh, Mother. You know, they build your buttons and they just push them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
That's
well,
been podcast.
Down here in the down here in the hatch, talking about science and Mother. you want to check in with the professor?
Yeah. We should have our mothers on at one point.
I don't know if that'd be a good idea for mine, but let's check in with the professor.
Mother theme, here we go.
No good deed goes unpunished. Excuse the pun. Nish. Mend.
Rascal.
He is good.
He is really average good. He's wow. medium nuts.
So you doing, or you going to see your mother, you consider that a good deed? Like, it's selfless.
Yeah, I mean, there's, like, the fact that I moved away, it's up to me to go home for the holidays, which I'm starting to resent, because I've been out here for, like, 12 years, and no one has come out to visit.
Are you an only child?
Nope, no, your mother comes to visit.
She came once for a wedding that had nothing to do with me, yeah.
She came also another time. She's come
out she came twice.
Yeah.
I had 12 years.
And wait, your brother and sister live...
Never came out here.
They're still in Connecticut.
Yeah, in Massachusetts.
Okay. So, you feel like a good boy.
I just do feel like a really good boy.
but you, what are you gaining? I mean, is there anything you can
gain
from it?
Okay, it's called altruism.
All right, you found out it's altruism.
But you, so you no, would say no. You going to see your mother is not in any way altruistic?
Well, I love my family. I want to see them. And
can't you just look at pictures?
Oh my God, I never thought of that. Yeah. I could just look at
just
pictures.
Just look at pictures. You don't have to go home, save yourself a grand.
Oh my God. Yeah, this thing is expensive, and I don't like to fly. We've gone over this. But,
And why won't they come visit you?
They blame it on the kids, that they have kids. But it's just...
What does your mom blame it on? That she has kids?
Yeah.
And that they have kids?
I have you, so I can't come out there.
Well, does she apologize when she falls asleep at 8:30 on New Year's Eve?
No.
But she's angry if you don't go?
No, she's never been angry about
You've
that.
You've taken it upon yourself.
Yes, I...
Very altruistic.
It's like my father passed away like 12 years ago, and it's like the New Year's, the first New Year's was like this sad thing, and then it's for some reason that holiday became very sad, and I felt like I didn't want her to be alone this like in her house.
So it's something you took upon thing. Yourself.
Yeah.
And when she found out you're not going home this year...
She said she doesn't love me anymore.
No, how did she deal with it?
I don't think she quite knows yet.
Oh.
Like, I kind of just didn't say anything. Like, I said I was going into New York after Christmas.
Because you want to see the big ball drop.
I hear there's a tree at Macy's and Santa Claus. And so I said I'm going to New York after, you know, on like the 27th or whatever, and I'll be back the first. I think I told her that.
Mm-hmm.
But.
And is that when she said, but nobody got me a birthday present?
Yeah.
But so you didn't really think about it, you just did it. I mean, that in a way seems pretty selfless, because a lot of times people, you ask people, what's the selfless thing you've done? And they immediately. Know it. So I was like, well, clearly it wasn't selfless. It's something you almost pride yourself
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I mean, there's always like a motivation, though, that's like, there's a lot of guilt. But I don't know if that takes away from it, but that's what drives, really gives you the turbo charge is mm-hmm. the guilt. You don't want to feel
turbo toilet flush.
Oh, we got to make those t-shirts.
Oh, that's right. Let's get back on track.
Anyway, I don't know if that's altruistic or not.
Tig, when Katrina hit, you raised a bunch of money for Katrina victims.
Yeah,
Tig
is
pretty
very
selfless.
Altruistic. Yes.
I did it for myself.
How so?
I mean...
Feel like a big shot?
Yeah, I felt like a big shot. No, I did it... there were so many levels of what happened. Like, you know, thinking that my whole family in town was dead in Mississippi and feeling helpless because nobody could get in to the town.
Guys, we've just been nominated. I'm sorry, I'm on for the funniest podcast episode. Just we're up for it. Just we're going good.
So when Katrina hit, thought my whole family was dead, and so yeah, you couldn't get into the town, and so I was gonna just drive out there and bring some stuff in case people were in need, and then it snowballed online. So I think it looked a lot bigger than it meant. Than I meant for it to be, because people were, you know, at the time MySpace was going on and people were posting it on MySpace, and all of a sudden I had this like donation center my house turned into for 72 hours. Like there was lights at night lighting up my yard, and people were boxing. Comedians were at my house 24 hours a day boxing up clothes and food.
I love that bit.
Donating money. Boom, boom.
Tig, to demonstrate people boxing things up, just look like a chimp playing with a human's
or just
hair.
Crawling on top, right? enjoy
it. How else am I going to get it across? How else are our listeners going to know what boxing up clothing for Katrina means?
Did you have a Swamp Rock concert?
Yeah, Swamp Rock plan.
To raise funds?
Yeah. But yeah, no, I did that.
And it was, who'll stop the rain?
But you did the teeth of the devil's whore and play some Swamp Rock.
You felt good about yourself, or at that point you're experiencing so many emotions.
I felt good about myself, but I was also I felt so good about other people, and I was blown away. It was such a
by the hurricane.
I was blown away by the hurricane. My family was blown away by the hurricane. I was blown away by how much people want to give. You know, I think just people want so desperately. I think it's human nature to want to give. And then when there's something that comes around that you can give to, there's your explosion that you can kind of.
But it's interesting that it is always more, not always, it's a lot of times, I mean, you felt compelled, obviously, but family related. I mean, clearly family are people you know.
Yeah.
So it's hard to make the argument that it's strictly because they share your same genes.
Mm-hmm.
But that in a weird way, like the altruism. You know, the sort of the selfish gene element is that, like, you wanted your genes to continue, so you sort of subconsciously felt like, well, I better go help them out,
mm-hmm.
make sure these... But that seems so heartless, and it seems like that's not how human beings work. I mean, you feel genuine emotions, and you...
So much compassion for
right.
people. And yeah, I mean, I guess it's selfish in the way that you're projecting how you would feel, you mm-hmm. know? So you're kind of thinking about yourself...
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that's obviously it's not a bad thing, you know. When I see people in need or something, I'm immediately like, I wouldn't want that. Here, let me help you.
Yeah, if you've ever been on the side of the road, whether it was out of gas or the flat tire, and you just needed a little bit of a lift, and you watch how many cars go by, mm-hmm. and you're suddenly on the other end of that, like, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. Being homeless must be. Even worse than being homeless, the amount of people that ignore you is...
Especially if it happens on your birthday. That happened to me once, and it was my birthday. I was like, on my birthday?
Was it your birthday?
Well, when I broke down and
you managed
my
to
friend's like,
my
now
birthday,
we
got to like
push the car back. And I was like, I'm not pushing it.
What if people were driving by like, saying, happy birthday? Would that make you feel any better?
It would make me feel a lot better.
When I was, this is kind of unrelated, but a very funny thing. I was in Minneapolis with Natasha Leggero, and we were out for a sushi dinner. And she was waiting on some.
Hey, Tay, want some sushi? She gets some sushi.
So we were waiting. We were having sushi, and she was having some wine, and she was waiting on like some information from her agent about something. And there was a photo shoot in the sushi restaurant, and these models were walking by, and Natasha had on a sundress and a big floppy hat, and when the models would walk by to go take the pictures, Natasha was like saying hi to them and wave, oh, hello there, dear. And they were ignoring her, and she's like, oh, this must be what homeless people feel like. And I was like, yeah, having sushi and waiting for their agent to call. This is exactly what homeless people go through, Natasha.
Yeah, there was a homeless lady at the post office yesterday that smelled horrendous and needed, I think she needed $8 and was wondering if I could
get
her.
And then she'd be all good?
Yeah, she was like, I'm trying to get into this shelter over here. I need $8. I mean, none of that made sense to me, but I thought, like, again, like, home. And I.
Yeah, I feel like homeless people, like, people who need money, like, don't even need the story of, like, I need it for this.
Yeah, I need money.
Just like,
here,
it's just like,
smell
look
me.
At me.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Get a whiff of this.
Give me money.
Yeah.
Get a whiff of this.
So I gave her a dollar, and she immediately pulled out a Bible and wanted to read me some scriptures.
Sweet.
So I was like, this transaction is done. Now you're subjecting me to something that I don't care for at this point. So I was just like, no thanks, I'm good. And then she's like shouting at me. I mean, granted, she's homeless, there are probably a few other things going on besides like I missed out on that promotion.
Was she trying to save your soul or just bore you to death?
She's just constantly mentioning there's a real God. There's a real God up in the sky. And I was like, okay.
But the fact
great.
That you were following the Bible by, you know, giving her something, that's like a precept of the Bible. She should be like, oh, he gets it. I don't need to.
Yeah. She was mentally ill. I mean, yeah. How do we not get this in this conversation?
And then she started chewing her shoe. I don't know what that meant.
All of her hair was gone. It's just one of those things where, like, when you try to do something selfless. Like,
maybe she thought she... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
When I mentioned before on the podcast, I gave Chris Spiva a sandwich, and then he said, only one? Like, that level of... clearly. You know, like, there's selfless acts, like, involve a certain amount of expectation, I guess. It seems like, you know, like, what if you had shown up... In Past Christian and the people. Do you want
That's me? No. My hometown.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Past Christian, Mississippi.
And people had just been like,
the birthplace of Swamp Rock.
Maybe the woman thought she was being nice to you by sharing. Maybe.
So she thought she was doing a selfless thing. I mean, so how, you know, you can never know how your selfless act is going to, you know, if someone came to your house, like your neighbors, and like, good news, we made all this stuff for you, you might be really offended. Like, I'm not doing that bad.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, no, we just want to prepare all this stuff. You're like, no, go to hell. I'm doing fine.
No, you smell horribly. Here's some, yeah. Yeah. I remember when I was going down to Mississippi after the hurricane, there was a news team that wanted to interview me about it, but they were hesitant because they wanted to make sure I wasn't doing this
for your career.
Yeah, to promote myself.
Mind if I do a quick five up front?
I was so irritated that I didn't want to talk to them. Because I was still like I thought everybody was dead. I was so offended by that. I didn't want to talk to them.
We're here with local comedian and fundraiser Tig Notaro. Like, how's it feel, Tig? What's the deal with tragedy?
Yeah. Check my website.
What did they say to you question they asked you to probe?
They didn't ask me. Somebody called me and said, hey, there's a news team in this town you're gonna be driving through on your route to Mississippi. And they'd like to interview you about what you're doing, but they just want to make sure that it's not like you promoting yourself. And I said, well, then I don't want to talk to them. This is what a weird way to go about promoting myself.
I hate when people reach out to you and then suddenly start putting you through all these qualifications.
Yeah.
Like, you asked me. I have no interest.
Yeah.
You want to bring? Just seems like, I don't know. Couldn't they edit that out or?
I mean, like edit out Tig's nonstop website self promotion.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, can't they just interview you? It just seems like, why do they have to ask that question to you?
Well, even if you were down there, they were probably doing live. A lot of stuff was live. You know, just like right there.
Or maybe just okay, yeah. But maybe just cut you off, like.
Yeah, I guess.
We're not doing that.
I guess, but I think a lot of stuff. It was that kind of like. Panicked reporting. We're just going live. We're doing, you know, that kind of.
Maybe they just had someone promote themselves, and they were just saying next time. It had nothing to do with what they thought of you as a person.
I don't know, Kyle.
I think that's what happened.
Okay. Well, that's
been podcast.
That's a nice way to awkwardly get into our guest.
Let's get into him.
Let's do it. He's a return guest.
Yeah, good to have him back.
This is our first return guest.
No, we've had Dr. Cohen.
Yeah, we had Dr. Ike. Cohen.
Robert Icke's been back.
Sasha's dad is who started the riddle thing. Not the riddle.
He was the original Riddler.
Well, he was the Riddler. And so after him, not that that's what inspired your thing, but it was after that. Anyway.
Right. Owen Weissman's been back. We've got a few repeat people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just joking. I remember all those people.
But this is the first guest with... This is the longest...
time between.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
First returning guest with an orange sweatshirt.
Yeah, yes. A burnt orange, like UT.
Like UT.
Yeah, it's Alexander Platt. He's a researcher at UCLA, Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology, previously at USC... And he trained at Harvard and University of Pennsylvania. Did you go to UT?
No, I did not.
Why are you wearing that sweatshirt?
Because it's very fetching on me.
It sure is. It does go nicely. Yeah, it goes nicely with your hair and everything.
An autumn.
That's all we wanted to talk to you about. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
You spent some time over in Austria as well.
I did. Spent a little time at the Gregor Mendel Institute out there.
Gregor, man, your resume is filling up. I think last time you were here, you were at USC, weren't you?
That's right.
Now you've gone to their crosstown rival.
Yep, moved crosstown.
You must be getting nonstop taunts from all those kids.
What got you moved over there?
New job.
More money. Completely not selfless.
Some money.
Altruism.
When did you move?
Just in September.
Oh, okay. And what's the new job all about?
New job is split between doing research on theoretical population genetics and population genetics applied to local oak trees.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Local oak tree genetics.
Yeah.
I did not know.
So, California Valley Oaks and the like.
I did not know that. People do that. So yeah. You look at, like, what is that? What does that entail? Sort of.
How all the trees are related to each other and how the different local species are hybridizing.
Okay. And how are they hybridizing?
Deliciously.
It's going well?
Yeah.
Oh. Do you encourage hybridizations?
No, but we exploit it for biological gain.
You put two trees together.
It's just too slow.
Mm-hmm.
Too slow. So we have to pretty much go out and see what they're doing on their own.
Like they'll put two horses together that are good at racing. And hope they mate. Like, you might put two big trees together.
Yeah.
Can't just, oh, boy, waiting for the offspring to grow up is...
Painfully.
This podcast is sounding sexy.
Yeah, it's getting real everyone's sexy.
Yeah, everybody's
we're talking about
really sexy.
Oak tree sex.
We're talking about
check out that tree.
Hybrid zone.
And what's your connection with altruism?
We were once again at a party where I ate a significant number of cupcakes.
Okay.
There I was, sipping a cool beer.
And a cupcake.
I was reading The Selfish Gene, and there was some part of it that I was fascinated with, and then I ran into Alex and started chatting him up about it.
Does Alex just pop up whenever you need a friend when you're having a beer?
Yeah, whenever I'm partying.
You know what? I think I'm out of nowhere catching a cold during this episode.
What?
Here we go.
Maybe you're allergic to fun.
Or orange sweatshirts.
Yeah, something. But anyway, go ahead.
Wow, yeah, we went to suddenly looking just
miserable.
You
look
miserable.
Like you.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm having some trouble here. But anyway, hi. Go on, you're at a party. You're having
at a party, we're talking about altruism. And at that point, like the part of it that seemed the most interesting was the idea that, oh, we revere things like, man, that guy just jumped in front of that bus to save that kid. Or, you know, they jumped in that pool and saved so-and-so. Whoever's saving someone.
Or Tig's mom threw her into the pool when she was an infant.
Right.
Right. Or mother says, I didn't get her a gift this year.
Your mother was trying to make you as strong as possible of a swimmer. So in a certain way, she was behaving altruistically for her own gene and making sure you don't drown.
Yes.
In that sense. And I was just talking to him about that, and I guess it displays itself in plants as well, right? Well, they will sacrifice for the good of the group.
I suppose so.
But he had a lot of stuff at the party, and actually, the first clip here, Aaron, if you're all fired up, this one is more about... about that, about this plant that, like, when it gets light, will sort of harbor it and then pass it on for the good of the group rather than metabolize it
itself. You guys want some light? I have some extra light.
I've been out there soaking up light all day.
I hate to harbor all this.
Here's the clip. It's the yellow jewel weed, a plant which, under conditions of deprivation of light, does not do what you would expect it to do, namely to invest energy in the creation of leaves so as to soak up as much of the sunshine that it can for photosynthesis, but rather invests in stems. It doesn't do that when it's surrounded by kin, by members of the same species. It does do that when it's surrounded by members of different species.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
I always think of the word kin as like what rednecks refer
yeah.
to.
Yeah, kin folk.
Whenever I hear somebody educated say kin, mm-hmm. you know, how's your kin?
What How is your kin folk? Is your kin folk good?
I always think it's somebody from redneck. Down south, you know.
I think it is. I think it started down there, I feel like.
Kin?
I don't know.
Can
Who
I
knows?
Get a cool beer?
Yeah.
Go burp. Wait, so what is he saying? When the plant is near a different species, it keeps the light to himself?
I think not even a different species, just unrelated individuals of its own species.
Oh.
It starts hogging the light.
Really?
But if it's got its own relatives nearby, it says...
You mean hogging light, like it doesn't open its petals as much or something? Like, how does it hog the light?
Yeah, it sort of puts out extra stems to create shade.
Oh.
What a son of a bastard.
We have variations of things like Mother Teresa, things like that. Like, how do you, if you are just going on the strict altruistic, everything is for the propagation of genes. I mean, how do you sort of, what's the word I'm looking for here, Kyle?
Humanism?
How do you justify, but
I can't remember the name of your album. I was going to say your album.
Humanitis.
How do you qualify something like that? Like, where this is a person that seemingly just did it for the good of her, you know, the people around her and her community. Someone that's very selfless.
Yeah, well, there's certainly a bunch of different ways you can sort of come to this this sort of equilibrium of people being willing to help out other people even when they're not related. One way is to just recognize that we're all related. And
we're all brothers and sisters under God's Son. I think that's what you're getting at?
Yeah. Well, you know, so you and I may be unrelated in terms of humanity. Mm-hmm. You pick any two people and they'll be about as unrelated as you and I.
Mm-hmm.
You pick any two organisms and we're practically the same person.
Right.
So we share a lot of genes.
Yeah, like when people say, oh man, we're chimps in us, we're like 97% similar DNA-wise.
Yeah.
So you and I must be, what, 99.9 similar?
Yeah, just about.
And we look very different to other humans, at least.
Yeah, you're not wearing any orange.
And Kyle's topless.
Yeah, well, let's remind our listeners. Yeah, Kyle, I'm doing this whole topless podcast topless for ratings.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, you guys.
So you certainly can help out your genes by helping out unrelated people.
So we want to help all humanity, essentially. That's what you're saying? Like, there's no selfless act because you're helping humans, which in effect helps the group you're a part of.
Yeah, so there's certainly an aspect of that. There's also other things going on, though. One way that you can get to this kind of equilibrium is if people have a reputation.
Mm-hmm.
If you decide, I'll help out people who help other people. Well, that works out, because now I've got a reputation of being helpful. Other people are going to help me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even I'm helping other people without expecting anything. It's that even if this person can't help me back directly, and even if this act itself is not helping me, it puts me in a good position to be helped by others in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Pay it forward.
I think part of what you're saying, too, is if you feel connected to a certain circle of people, you just have this instinct to help out. Like, Tig feels connected to these people in Mississippi because she grew up there.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who don't help, maybe that's like a sad thing. They don't feel connected to anybody. If someone's being selfish, they don't feel that. Is that true?
It is, but the evolutionary biologist will say that's just kicking the can down the road. Why should you feel connected in this way?
I would think you would say something a little smarter than that.
Yeah, I mean, just kicking a can.
No, that's pretty much standard terminology.
If that's all there was to the terminology, I would have stuck to...
Chapter 7, kicking cats. I will start from the beginning.
First get a rope. Can goes on rope.
Now
I am moving.
If we were to take the circumference of the can, times the road length, we get a can being kicked down hence road. Now...
All right, so you're kicking a can down the road.
Right, so...
Right. So people that believe in karma are really just sort of the least altruistic people, because they're like, I believe in karma, that's why I'm doing this. Oh, so you're doing exactly what you were just saying. You're banking up a bunch of good, you know, people helping you down the road, sort of tokens, so that you will get them down the road. You're not doing it in the sense that, like, yeah, I'm doing this, and that's great.
I think that's such a weird thing to do, is to do things in hopes that something good will come to you.
But people say it. They go, oh, it's good karma. So that's that's essentially what they're saying, is like, would not be doing this if it weren't for the off chance that something good is going to come back to me.
I don't ever use the word karma.
What if you don't like what's in the can when it comes to you? Do you just kick it on?
Kick it on down the road?
If I'm understanding the analogy, somebody kicked the can down to you, so you take what you want and then kick it on down further, like you're the karma can. Is it a karma can?
Are we kicking a karma can, karma soda?
No, that wasn't the analogy.
I don't understand.
Well, then you need to read chapter kicking the can on down the road.
Now
Sorry. So answering Kyle's question, they've morphed into the same person.
That happened years ago.
We're going to put the online picture of me, oh, online with the my shirt off, because I just approved that I am in this.
Yeah. Need to get those ratings up.
Yeah, got to get the ratings.
Okay, so go ahead.
Right, so just... right, so the question of why we feel the need to be kind to others isn't sort of an answer without raising the extra question of why we feel that way, which then needs to be further explained.
Okay.
So why do we feel that way? Do you feel like it is something predetermined? I mean, obviously there are sociopaths. There are people that... Don't feel anything. That's certainly an anomaly. But for the average person just walking along, you see someone fall down. The first reaction I find with me is laughter. But then there's
when somebody falls down.
Yeah,
ugh, that's my least favorite.
I can't not laugh. Depending on how they fall. Like one time it happened, I didn't laugh. This woman was walking in front of me. I was looking at the ground, but I almost heard it. I heard the stubbed foot, and then as I looked up, I just heard her poof, like hit stomach first. And I caught up to her. I didn't laugh for the first time maybe in my life.
Uh-huh.
I was like, are you okay? And she got up and she was laughing. And she was like, I didn't even put my hands out. What's wrong with me? She's like, I just landed on my chest.
I mean, I have a sense of humor about when I fall, but when I see somebody else fall.
What about a trip? Is that okay? Because then you don't, they're not getting hurt.
Kind of. I feel bad for them. I immediately think, like, if they're insecure or something. I feel bad that they're,
like... I wish I had those filters. There's nothing like that going on in my head. It's just guttural laughter.
Oh.
The idea of these little bipeds, these little things on two sticks.
When I see somebody trip, I go, oh, like, I'm sorry. You
really?
Know? Yeah, I don't know why. It doesn't, it doesn't make me laugh.
There was a bench. I was in, like, Toronto, and me and my friend just... sat on the bench because there was a little part of the sidewalk that like went up 3 inches and just every third person guaranteed just a little stumble, nothing
and
major.
And you would go stand and watch?
It was endlessly entertaining.
Maybe if I sat down and I said, let's look at this as a little game and have some fun. But yeah, if I'm just, I immediately, for some reason, I can laugh at myself and go and picture what that must have looked like and the people that enjoy people tripping and whatever, enjoy yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So do you hate America's Funniest Home Videos?
Funniest. Welcome back to America's Funniest Home Videos.
I love America's Funniest Home Videos.
It is pretty funny.
But that's not why Alexander Platt is here today to talk about funny home videos.
Gene-wise, genes want to promote themselves. There are all sorts of, aside from just leaping into the river to help your son, because you know that he carries your same gene, there are other like altruistic elements to, there is an episode of Friends where... I think it was like Joey.
I've seen all of them.
Have you seen it?
No.
One of them, I think Phoebe wanted to do a selfless act, and everything she kept doing kept being returned, you know, some good came of it. So I was like, well, I wasn't selfless. You benefited in some way.
Episode 126.
It is kind of funny to even hear you say the name Phoebe.
I know the... God, I don't even care
Phoebe's
for that
crazy
show.
Cat had just entered the room.
Now,
there was a woman who... a guy... This is just very similar to what you're saying. There was a plane crash in D.C. and it was freezing water and he saw her struggling. There was a row of people watching and then one guy jumped in and got her and I think he just felt her pain. You know, he just got connected to what she was going through and he jumped in, sacrificed... himself.
But we always applaud that, but really what was going on psychologically in his head is maybe he was looking at like, well, I'm older, closer to death, these genes, whereas her genes, younger, need those to carry on. So was there even a discussion, was there a dialogue in his head, or was that something we're incapable of even controlling? We're like, sort of predisposed to assess which genes are the most valuable to the species.
Alex, yeah, well, it's got to be some of each, doesn't it?
You would think so. It makes me feel along the same lines of like predetermination or something, that we are just vehicles for this gene and that we're always thinking, I'm a good person and I'm helping that girl out of the ice water, when really something a little bit more subversive is happening, which is those genes need to carry on.
I think it's more like that's happening to me. You know, like at a certain point he was looking And
he doesn't want to go through that.
He felt her pain, and it became like his pain in a way, maybe.
Have you heard the story of the guy who took the picture of the little like refugee girl, and there was like a buzzard moving toward her, and he, rather than help, took a picture, and then he ended up committing suicide after the fact? He just felt so miserable that he stopped to capture that moment.
Just because a buzzard got near her?
What
happened? Did the buzzard eat her?
I don't know. I'm sure it took its time. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know the story well enough to even really bring it up. But.
But I love it as it is. I love that a buzzard walked towards a girl. He took a picture and then he killed himself.
I think he just hated the idea that he didn't react immediately. That he took a second to say, like, wow, this is a real stark contrast of someone in need, this little girl that couldn't help herself. And then just what is life, you know, sort of attacking you. Oh, this to me is a, you know, metaphor here. Took the picture and then after the fact was like, I'm horrible.
And then a buzzard showed up after he killed himself.
Right, yeah, and had a nice time.
That story's a real buzzkill.
Hey, thanks, Aaron.
That was so low, Aaron. How dare you?
So anyway, sorry, going back to that. You think it's a bit of both? Buzzard. I mean, you obviously, but just by saying that, think that there is free will and humans are endowed with sort of an angel and a devil, maybe, so to speak. Like, there are rational decisions you make, but what about impulses? Like, that guy didn't stand there and watch the girl swimming around and go, okay, cons, I save her, I'm a hero, she lives, why were those cons?
I feel like that's something I would have said.
Cons, I save her.
Get that.
Cons.
Pros, I get really cold in the water.
I gotta lug around that key to the city. That
I possibly heavy. Can't scramble out of the water. I drown and die.
Pros, nutsack goes into my body. Oh, this is tough.
Like, he just reacts immediately.
So let me digress a bit.
Okay.
We already have.
There's a...
come no, back yeah, and meet
try
us.
Not your me.
Go
best.
The opposite of what we...
Yeah, he hasn't digressed yet.
So there's a concept of group selection, in addition to the sort of kin selection kinds of things we've been talking about.
Okay.
It says, look, any group of people, related or unrelated, probably do better if they're helping each other out than another similar group where people are just in it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to maintain these kinds of groups, though, because
there's an evolutionary stable system, is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is carers and bearers, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Problem is...
Care beareth.
It's,
carers and bearers.
It's really hard to just sort of sit in one of these equilibrium where everybody's helping each other, because any one person in this group is probably better off cheating.
Right.
All right, let's let everybody else take care of everybody, including me. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it.
Yeah, I'll pretend like I'm carrying jugs of water or what have you, but really what I'm doing is making my way with the ladies.
It's like Survivor, yeah. The show.
Right.
The show.
So it's really hard to maintain a group functioning like this in a sort of abstract, rational sense, at least over the long term. But one of the great advantages that we as humans have is the ability to think about it for a little while and say, you know what? It would be better if we all pitch in, and I'm going to do it anyway. So we have a lot of ability to rationally think about what's going on and decide that, yeah, I am going to pitch in. Things will work out better that way.
If you've been helped, a lot of people, it may not be inherent. It's weird when you see a child that...
It's not that weird.
No, it is weird.
No,
you ever see a child?
You ever see one? They stand around and stuff?
It is weird,
Tig. It's pretty bizarre.
Little people.
No, but you know what it is? It's not weird.
That's
nuts!
When you see a kid... My friend's child went over and grabbed a jump rope.
Is it? Wait, oh, I'm sorry. Is it going to be nuts?
No, it's not nuts. Not even remotely. But he...
That's not remotely nuts.
He went and grabbed a jump rope, and my friend, his dad, goes, hey, buddy, you already have one of those. Natural... I think reaction for a child was to be like, but I have this one, I want this one. And he just went, oh, okay, and went over to the other kid and goes, here you go, and gave it to him.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that scene is so cute. I was like, that is just amazing. Because to me, kids are sort of what humans are fighting off being as they get older, which are like, greedy, I want all this stuff, I want all those toys, give me more food and candy, mostly candy. And as you get older, you're taught, you learn that by helping people, you get things in return, which is not altruistic. You're just sort of taught that, like, here, listen, help this person out. It's good for the whole group. So you're kind of, you know, you learn to, I don't know, sort of counteract with the instinctual things that you may have.
Yeah, we didn't.
That was nuts, by the way. I don't know why you said that.
Yeah, why did you say
that? Why would you say that's not nuts?
You thought the kid giving the jump rope back was nuts?
You know, to be fair, I thought it was medium nuts.
It's, yeah.
Really? At yeah. least. Yeah. At least medium bare minimum nuts. Medium nuts.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Alexander.
Talk about the Care Bears. Where'd that go? Wasn't there a story about Care Bears?
This is the story about Care Bears.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, but the thing is, you can get around a lot of these problems with the cheaters if you institute punishment.
Right.
All right, so that's sort of the flip side of it. All right, now we've got somebody, we find that he's cheating and he's not helping out, we can punish him. And that's in some ways another form of kicking the can down the road.
Which we all love to do.
Because we all have to chip in and share in the punishing, right?
So why do we punish? Cheating or just not being altruistic?
Sort of the same thing at this point.
Which sucks, because like, we revere altruistic, but in a way, you have to be, to a certain degree, selfless. So it's, how is it something that can be revered if it's just like, you should do that? You have to do that.
We'll come back and answer that after this commercial break on Professor Blastoff with our guest, Alexander Platt. And we're back on Professor Blastoff after you just listened to that commercial of something you'll probably buy.
Will.
With money. We're with Alexander Platt, researcher at UCLA Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology.
And the question I left off on was, we have an evolutionary stable society where we have some takers, some givers, a mix of each, and people are penalized for cheating, meaning that they didn't give enough, but we revere altruism like, oh, that, you know, that was great. You were selfless. But because we punish, then it doesn't seem to be that it's something you choose to do selflessly. It's something you sort of have to do.
Yeah, well, the evolutionary biologist doesn't really care if something's selfless, right? I mean, we've got acts that benefit others at a cost to the self.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of all the important information. And you might want to further think about, well, it's an act that helps others at maybe cost to the self that could turn into a benefit for the self over the long run.
Mm-hmm.
That still gets us to a place of, I'm going out of my way to help somebody else. And motivations never really come into it.
We have a clip about motivation behind helping. You want to set that up?
It's the same talk. Mm-hmm. We'll post it on our website. It's pretty informative. It's like 45 minutes. And this is just, yeah, a part where a guy talks about, you know, your motivation behind being altruistic.
Okay. Same talk from before.
Yeah, yeah. These are all same clips from the same dude.
All right, just setting up the time on that. And here it is.
If I take an old lady across the street, and while doing so, I'm hit by a truck and am killed, but the result of my actions is that the old lady makes it to the other side of the street. If she knows that I did that only to be written into her will, she will rightly not consider me an altruist, nor will anyone else in this room. In other words, psychological altruism is all about intention and not necessarily about result.
So he needs some water.
I know.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of a...
Definitely dry mouth. Yeesh. We won't go back to him. And what about animals with altruism?
Right, so we don't really question the motives of the animal.
Mm-hmm.
What we question is, why did the animal do it? Maybe he's going to get something out of it. Maybe he thinks he might get something out of it in the future.
Or she.
Thank you.
Never.
Yeah,
no, yeah, another part of that talk.
We showed a clip once of a dog dragging a dog across
amazing.
The first dog got hit.
Have you seen that, Alexander?
I have not.
It's outrageous.
Have we done this topic before?
No.
Why'd we show that?
That one was on love. But yeah, then the other dog risks his life. Like, and he's looking at cars and then going forward.
It's
and,
a
like,
busy freeway.
And he goes over and grabs the dog and pulls him into the median.
It's exactly like
jets.
Frogger.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, he navigates
his
way across.
A slow, bloody Frogger. with dogs.
That talk, though, that guy talked about how monkeys will jump in the water if they see another one fall in, and that's more altruistic than humans because monkeys can't swim.
Oh.
How many monkeys?
Isn't that just monkey see, monkey do?
Yeah.
Bunch of monkeys.
Is that clip worth
monkey
listening
don't
to?
Don't swim.
About the monkeys?
I pretty much says what I just said, but with a lot stickier mouth.
Oh, okay. Right.
Would you add sticky mouth to what you said?
You the thing about that is altruism can be seen in humans because...
Yeah, he must be nervous.
Maybe he gave his
guy.
Water away to somebody who needed it more.
It's a really good talk.
Oh.
At some point in there, he also discusses George Price. We were talking about earlier, wrote the Price Equation... which you said didn't really involve altruism, but was more like it does in effect, like have to do with which genes get pushed ahead, which win.
Yeah, it's how natural selection operates on genes or pretty much anything else.
But he was kind of an eccentric genius, and I think
very eccentric.
Very eccentric.
How?
In the way that I think he went nuts thinking about this.
Nuts.
Is it going to happen?
Guys, what I'm going to tell you
is
might be considered medium high nuts.
Hey, David.
What's medium high nuts?
Wait, high isn't in there. It's just what's medium nuts.
Well, I feel like this is medium high. This is
medium
almost
too high nuts.
Yeah.
Okay. What's
medium to high nuts? No, what's medium to high nuts?
Oh, okay.
Guys. You want to join in?
Absolutely.
Okay.
One, two, three.
What's medium to high nuts?
I'll tell you. George Price created this equation. He's a bit of a genius. And then he decided that by giving, he would really reap the benefits of altruism. He would do things strictly for the sake of doing them and not in any way expect anything in return. So he just gave away all his money, and he was once quoted as saying, like, today was a great day. I only have, like, $17 left, 17 pounds left. People are like, ugh. And he's like, yeah, and I can't wait to give it away. And so he, of course, gives everything away and then ends up homeless and then lives that way.
Buzzard walk up?
But no buzzards came up, but he just stayed homeless. And the worst part of the story is that on some level you would think, like, man, maybe he figured it out. Maybe he realized that not much of this stuff matters and humans and altruism is just a myth. But then he killed himself.
Did he?
Yeah, so he proved
why
that...
Why are all your stories about suicide so today?
I said it's medium to high nuts. On some level, you feel like, oh, maybe he realized, yeah, being altruistic is great and it fulfills your soul. But then because he went ahead and killed himself...
And there was no buzzard, you say?
No. Okay. No buzzard creeping up on it that I know of. So maybe it is better to be selfish. I mean, you don't see a lot of guys that are, you know, wealthy tycoon types.
Or often girls. Themselves.
Mostly just guys.
No.
Wealthy tycoon gals always... No. I don't know. That just seemed... If he had lived that life and then discovered something, was enlightened in some way, you might give some credence to it. Like, yeah, I guess it is better to give nothing to yourself and give it all away. And it's, but in effect, it ended up being the worst experiment he's ever conducted.
Yeah. Wow! That's medium to high nuts!
Oh, David, when you were telling that story, it just gave me a flashback to the other buzzard story, and I don't know if I'll ever move on from that.
I couldn't wait to say that's medium to high nuts. I wasn't even listening. I was just seeing when I could finally say that.
Alexander, we didn't tell you about our nuts thing. We're just trying it out just to see if it's a real hit.
Oh, I'm familiar with your nuts.
Okay.
Alexander. How dare you? Now, we are going to have to wrap up soon. If there's any last-minute things. Kyle, do you have any questions?
Do I have any questions? Well, Tig, now that I think about it, I do have one question.
What is it?
Well, I haven't got it yet, but I'm hoping this delay will...
I have a question, okay. I'd like to pose to you guys, and that is there anything truly, like the Friends episode, that is completely selfless, that you're not helping?
Why do you have to compare everything to Friends?
You've
Jennifer Aniston does this. Jennifer Aniston does that. But
you
Jen
know
said
me
this.
Well enough. That's my thing. I refer... Can I pay for this in Friends?
Did you
quotes?
Like Friends?
I didn't care for it.
Oh.
I don't know
do
why
like
I watched
Jennifer
a lot
Aniston?
Of it. Can we move on?
Come on, David.
I think she's fine. I have
you
no
lover.
I do not.
Who would you like to be with out of the three girlfriends?
Well, Jennifer Aniston. No question.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Guys, come on. Let's get back
that
on track.
That was not my question. My question
David,
is...
David, quit trying to talk about Friends
let me
more.
Just squeeze in more Friends stuff. I got a lot of good stuff here.
Okay, what's your question?
Why don't we give David 10 seconds to talk about Friends as much
okay,
as he
all
wants.
Right, get it out
we'll
of your
on.
System.
Okay. What I loved about it was the complex dynamic between a few friends that never really seemed to have jobs but have managed to afford these pretty nice apartment buildings in downtown Manhattan.
Wrap it up.
Okay, sorry. And as per a friend of mine named Doug, when they did the exterior shot and there was a balcony, they actually never had that balcony. When they showed balcony shots of them from the interior, it was this giant expansive balcony, but really from the outside it didn't look anything like that.
Doug Benson, right?
Yeah, he's a big Friends guy and was on Friends.
He's
so anyway.
A fan of Friends?
Yeah. Hmm. So can you ever do anything altruistically? Can anything actually, even if you say, oh, you kill yourself, you're making more space on the planet, but you've ruined the lives of people around you. That's certainly not in any way altruistic. You've given away all of your money. Well, you did that, what, for yourself, for your genes to be a little more financially
secure?
Yeah,
it seems like there's not enough words. Like altruism doesn't seem, it seems to be an umbrella, but never quite nails it.
Right. It, especially if it's just under the smallest part of the umbrella, which is selfless. Can there be things that don't in some way benefit, if not you, someone directly related to you, particularly like they're benefiting your own genes or humans? We're all brothers and sisters, as Alex said.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you think on that, Alex?
Ander.
Alexander.
Well, you have 3 seconds.
It's a little tough because... Anything that really helps other people at your own expense, probably not something that's going to stick around too long.
It just feels very lack of free will, like we're a part of something bigger.
Give a good example
like
of that.
Like the sixth season of Friends?
Yeah, like it's moving toward a conclusion and we're all just sort of parts of it. Think of how long humanity's been around and it's been building little teepees, then shanty towns, then industry, then
still,
giant skyscrapers.
Still teepees.
It'll move forward from there and we helped it along. We laid track for that to happen all the while helping each other and being good to each other, but for a greater good. Mm-hmm. Altruism seems like you're just... laying the groundwork for something bigger to happen.
It's almost like true altruism, like the story you gave, the guy blew his head off, is just stupid. It just sounds dumb.
Exactly, yeah. Like, why are you living on the street? Why not enjoy your life? Why not eschew altruism and just have a nice life?
And he didn't blow his head off. He cut his throat with a pair of nail scissors.
You're kidding me.
I am not.
You know what that is?
With a pair of nail
scissors? That's nuts!
That is horrendous.
Is horrendous.
What kind of nail scissors? Because the scissors I use on my nails, you can't cut your throat with
them. Kyle's tried repeatedly.
Yeah.
I just get like a good centimeter in. It doesn't get my jugular.
Yeah, man of dedication, I think.
You mean the ones where you get the thing, you do this?
Not this,
no.
The clippers, but like the cuticle
scissors.
The
little alligator mouth?
Yeah.
You're trying to stab that into your throat?
But that's what I'm saying. No, that's what I can't imagine.
He's trying to clip through to his jugular. This clip, clip, clip. Mother, this hurts.
That to me are nail scissors.
Scissors? That's a scissor to you? You know, the idea of scissors
that's
is
like a little
this, like an
alligator in the swamps.
Yeah. All right. I didn't think it through. You know, string me up.
Well, with that, we should probably wrap up this episode.
No one has any thoughts on my provocative question on if there's...
No, because we're wrapping up this episode.
What about how you guys feel about Friends?
Love it.
Get out of the friend zone.
I like Friends. I've seen it once. It seemed nice.
Here are some tweets. The question posed was...
Don't read one about me.
Are there any selfless acts? And people wrote back, Amy is for awesome wrote, the only solid one that I can think of is to protect someone knowing that you'll die in the process. That kind of goes back to brothers and sisters. Alex Colliard wrote, people will say no because if nothing, it's to feel better about yourself. But that's only your fault. That's pretty cool. Know what that means. Josh
that
underscore
poor person that tweeted the fact that you ended it with
I'll figure it out.
I don't know what it means. I was hoping one of you guys would enlighten me. But if that's your
Kyle
only
fix it out.
So I read it wrong. But if that's your only fault, that's pretty cool. Okay, that's good.
No, I don't know what that means.
It means like if you give stuff away and then you feel good about it.
I knew what it meant. Next tweet.
Josh underscore Costello wrote, no, weren't you listening to Dr. Cohen? Altruism is a genetic thing. Smiley face. Great podcast, by the way. Keep it up.
Thanks.
Guys, I just have
thanks,
one point.
Thanks, buddy. Hang one on, Aaron. I'm thanking that guy still. Thanks. Thanks. Go ahead.
We didn't talk about farts, and I think it is appropriate because farting, I think, is purely altruistic because if you think about it, no one else is enjoying your farting.
Very
but you do
true.
It only because mm-hmm. you need
and
to
it
expel
is,
gas.
It
yeah.
is.
That's the opposite,
selfish.
Though. You're purely selfish.
Selfish.
Yeah, the opposite. The complete opposite of altruism.
Okay, letting somebody fart. Then
right
near allowing
face.
It
you may fart for example
yeah
yeah allowing it to be a free farting zone is purely altruistic because you don't enjoy that smell
mm-hmm. yeah that's I'm gonna
true.
Go ahead and say that's
yeah
true.
Aaron
I've you cracked
might,
the code
you might be expecting them to return the favor though
yeah
sometimes you just gotta let it out
yeah
dang it you've shattered
I this
dream.
Is the last episode where we can discuss this okay
discuss farting
yeah
I sincerely doubt that'll be the case.
That's the swan fart. Song.
Swan song. I was just doing the, like, goodbye, and then I was hoping someone would do a speech, like, goodbye to farts monologue over this.
It's been a good run, but every fart must come to an end, even though it started from the end.
I think people enjoyed that.
I can't tell.
I'm hoping.
You got anything else to read?
Sure. Karen D wrote, this is the greatest podcast ever.
Yeah!
Hello.
Thank you, Karen D.
Hello down there in the hatch. I just want to tell you how much I love the new phrase,
hi.
Innocent adult penises. I couldn't breathe.
That's when Kyle got molested.
Yeah. I couldn't breathe. I was laughing so hard during that conversation. Thank you, Tig, David, and Kyle, for the gifts of laughter and happiness every week. Love, all caps, this podcast. Merry Christmas. Karen, Bridgeport, Michigan.
Bridgeport, Michigan.
Karen.
Oh, Karen.
Karen, we love you.
Karen, you're just a doll.
We just friggin' love you.
Oh, gosh, Karen.
This is from...
I want to give you a big hug.
Can I have some back and forth between these two characters?
Karen, here's the thing. I love you.
Well, let me talk to Karen first.
Let me tell her first that I just got dang love her.
Hold on. I can't hold it in any longer.
Just Karen, let me go first. I'd love to...
Please, I'm begging you. Let me talk to Karen first.
When she sees what I've got in
store... Can I just tell her how I feel?
I've got a big display of affection.
I swear it won't be long. You can go next.
Well, I was going to say the same thing, because mine's quick. I'm a little emotional. I feel like I got to say it first, because if I catch her after you've been in there, I don't think I can bear it.
I stopped the bit. My bit stopped, but I wanted to keep watching David.
That was one of those moments where I wish David would wake up to his reality. There was never a Professor Blastoff. He was sitting alone in his house.
No,
he hadn't even moved away from his mom's house. He's still his age now. And he's talking like Kermit the Frog to some Karen woman.
Just a wall.
It's like, David, it's
a
time for your meds.
Clarity.
I gotta tell Karen.
Like, hold on, I'm talking to Karen.
This is between me and Karen and Kyle. Who's Kyle? All right, go ahead. Karen, you've got to love that I made them go back and forth for you.
Yes.
Karen?
Karen, go ahead.
Oh.
Karen, you're on?
Just ignore Tig.
Oh, interesting.
All right, go ahead. Where are we in this?
This is David S. Lee.
Sunsberger?
Yes, Sunsberger again. But I think it's a different David S. Hello, Tiggery, Kyle, and David.
Why did I get the weird name? Tiggery, Kyle, and David?
Calls you Tiggery.
Oh, are we that tight?
You guys are
David
pals.
S.
You and Sunsberger? Homies. Australian Sunsberger? Homies.
Okay. Thanks,
I'm writing
David.
To tell you how much I love Professor Vostoff. Professor Blastoff. You guys are incredibly funny. I have sustained many an injury through uncontrollable, convulsive fits of laughter, and engaging and inspiring. The format of the show is unique and works so well, and the three of you have an unrivaled natural synergy. Knew it. PB is so important in an age where communicating and getting the wider public excited about science and abstract ideas is becoming a much harder thing to do. So kudos for putting the effort into creating this awesome podcast that does just that. You guys rock.
Page two.
Anyway. and then he said he had a thing about the forced laughter sessions. Am I supposed to feel awkward? Am I meant to? Am I meant to laugh along? Anyway, keep up the awesome work, and please keep doing Professor Blastoff, and then in parentheses, preferably forever, with lots of love from another David, and then parentheses again, in Australia.
We probably shouldn't read emails like that. It's just going to spawn hatred.
Yeah, I know. And I don't
you guys are totally amazing, and the podcast is perfect.
And we don't read any of the angry ones, but oddly, it's a
maybe
free podcast, so we don't get a lot of angry ones, because if you're furious, just stop listening. It's free. We're not putting you out in any way. But thanks for the nice stuff. It is appreciated.
And you know what?
Nice.
Thanks for the mean stuff. I just don't even care.
I do. Hmm. Too sensitive about it.
Let's do what we're doing. Trivia?
I don't feel a thing. Any tweets or...
Read the tweets, read the emails.
Oh, right.
this is a part of the show where you'd stop listening.
How is it that twice now
I love
that
you ask right after it happens?
So what do we got? You got any tweets there? Yes. Just finished up a half hour of tweets. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
George Robert Price, an American population geneticist, was born.
True.
Yes.
1922, 1932, 1942.
Aaron, you're next. Kyle, you can't go until
42.
The end.
I'll go with two.
David did something weird with his
Alexander?
House at the end, but he knew I was looking at
42.
Him, so maybe he was...
I'm 32.
He was a young guy.
Oof, this is
I'm
tough.
I'm going 32.
Young guy didn't last very well.
The first one was casual. The second two were nervous eyes that David gave me, but he knew I was looking, so maybe he was trying to do nervous
eyes. At least
he's
still giving you eyes.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the first one.
I hate you. Yes,
wow.
1922.
He knew I was looking at him.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's infuriating.
Amazing.
All right, well, I'll give you one more.
<It's> one step ahead of you, Hans Becker.
Hans Becker.
Hans Becker. Richard Dawkins, who wrote The Selfish
Gene. I
want to
play poker with you so bad.
Yeah, I would be miserable at it, clearly.
Stop flirting the two of
or
you.
Or maybe I'm suckering you into a game where I win everything.
Megan, let me tell you.
Richard Dawkins, a British ethologist, evolutionary biologist, and author. He was born in 1921, 1931, 1941. 1931. 31. 41. 31. 41.
The only reason I was going to go back and say 41 is because it seemed like your voice was from the 40s. You were like, 41.
Ah. I have so many tells.
You had a stare on the 41.
Okay. He wrote, which of these is... this is going to be a dead giveaway.
What is it? Sounds better.
Think of this.
Okay, how do I just read these words without revealing everything?
He wrote three books.
Yes.
Altruistic Evolution, The Extended Phenotype, and The Blind Watchmaker.
The first one.
Second one.
First one.
First one.
First one.
Ha
take
ha.
That again. So Aaron wins today. Oh. Good work, buddy.
Good
Thanks.
Work, Aaron.
Woo!
All right. So do you have anything you want to say about yourself, Alexander, or your life, or your job, or your...
Do you want to confess something?
Plug? Do you want
about
to
your love life?
Mention mm-hmm. your wife, or...
My lovely and talented Michelle Balloon?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you should follow
Walking
her on Twitter.
With Michelle?
Or even find her on the Google Plus.
Oh.
What is her Twitter?
What are you from the future?
Michelle Balloon is a very funny comedian that Alexander is...
Having intercourse with regularly. Also known as Michelle.
How regularly? Be honest.
Fairly regularly.
Really? Once a week?
At least.
That's a lot.
My
you guys
goodness.
Have married how long?
Over a year.
And how long did you date before I got married?
About 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. You little
still
rascal.
Once a week. That's yeah. pretty good.
So if not more, he said.
Not more.
He did say if no more.
Is there anything
anything altruistic about that?
Nothing. It's all about me.
You keep
me.
Giving selflessly.
Is there anything you want to add? A little wrap-up note, something we didn't get to? That anything like that?
Oh, I think we did a wonderful job.
Oh, cool. Thanks, buddy.
Awesome. Great. And go to our websites.
Mm-hmm.
Buy our CDs.
Should we do the goodbye, or is that just annoying? I can't figure it out.
Well, we'll know in time.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Wait. We got to explain. It's like
Alexander, you can jump in as well.
You got to start low. That the low.
I'm the low guy.
Well, the first guy's
and
low.
And you go in second.
Goodbye.
Hold on.
We explain to the people
and
listening.
And we can't edit any of this out.
Also, wait, before we go to professorblastoff.com. There is a poll up now. We currently haven't decided what it is. There are four things. Something you want Tig to do, Kyle to do, David to do, or Aaron to do. We'll vote on whoever gets the most votes.
If you want a buzzer to walk up.
And whoever gets the most votes for their thing that they have willingly agreed to do at this point, head shaving, things along those lines, we will do it, videotape it, put it on the internet. So visit the website, and we'll.
Thanks,
I'm sure there's
David.
A poll there that has a thing we just haven't thought.
Oh,
of
and send
yet.
In some half riddles.
Oh yeah, if you want to write a riddle for Kyle to say
a half riddle,
get halfway there, and then say, "Take it, Kyle." And then he will.
We'll see if I remember that classic.
Title your email riddle for Kyle.
Yeah.
And this goodbye we do is they harmonize, and then I come in at the end with that barbershop.
The one that really brings it home.
Yeah, the one that's like gives you that like dissonant Ooh-wee! Sound.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I don't know why we haven't had Tig do it because she does it masterfully, but Kyle's taking the reins.
Kyle does it really well.
He's really Ooh-wee! Good.
Goodbye.
Well, that's been podcast.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom. .com. Oh, oh, oh. The wolf dead.